I've been preaching these last few summer weeks from the book of Romans, a letter. A letter to a community used to being on the fringes of Roman society. So what if this morning, instead of standing up front there at the podium, I would preach from the fringes of the space in this room? Maybe that would feel a little bit weird, right? Because the pastor would be getting kind of close to some of you that normally don't get so close to me. And I make a little bit more eye contact with you, right? Right, Derek? Yeah, nod, right? Hi, Chris. Good morning. And there's something unnatural about it, I think, maybe that makes us a little bit uncomfortable. If I walk all the way around you, maybe by now for some of you who can't see me, you think you're being watched, right? Or there's like this disembodied voice in church. Well, what's so unnatural about being at the fringes or being at the margins, really? Well, we're used to having God's word up front, right? And the way the church is set up, we noted a couple weeks ago, with the pews facing front, the idea is that we have God's word up at the front where our attention should be, because we come here to hear a word from God. It is about the Bible, his word. We want that to be front and center. Okay. But where did God's word live when he walked among us? Front and center? Hardly. Rather, God's word went to the fringes, to the margins. God's word, Jesus, spent time in grubby places with difficult people, with marginalized people, people who exist on the fringes. Marginalized people, like comments on the margins of a page, they're off to the side. Sometimes in societies, they're considered afterthoughts. They're not normal. They're the down and out. So if I were to ask you who those people are in our society, who would you say? I'm asking. Who are the marginalized? Tell me. Homeless people, sure. Who else? Poor, yeah. Prisoners, definitely. Yeah. Anybody else? Who else is marginalized in our society? Handicapped or disabled in some way? Yeah, very frequently.
Anyone that looks different than the majority.
Anybody that looks different from the majority, basically. Yeah, definitely. And we could add, in our racialized society, that basically anybody who's non-white is marginalized in a certain way. That's true in our society. That's how it is. Different than the majority. So this morning, I'll be preaching from the margins. And you'll hear how that connects. If you're someone who, for some reason, feels like you are on the fringes of society at some point, for whatever reason, maybe some of this won't apply to you as much. But I want you to understand that as God's word walked at the fringes of his own society when he walked here on earth, so he walks now. And that I would challenge you, if you are on the margins in this society, to claim your marginality, to claim the fact that you're on the fringe as a gateway to demonstrate the power of God's salvation, that you don't need earthly wealth or power to do everything you can for him. And that you can become powerful in the grace of God without anything that's earthly. And if you're in some group that's not on the margins, well, I don't know, kind of like me, the middle-class Anglo-American white male, I'm not very marginalized, I got to tell you. I'm really not. I have to follow a hero who resists the spotlight. I have to follow a savior who does not really go for the charms of earthly power, who spends a lot of his time in places that society would otherwise overlook. Now to God's word. And to read it, I'll still be up front. Romans 12, verses 14 through 16. Romans 12, verses 14 through 16. Paul writes this letter to Christians in Rome. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not think that you are superior. This is God's word. Three classes of marginalized people: the lowly, the mourners, and the enemies. Three classes that Paul says, if you would follow Jesus, you're going to follow him all the way to these places with these uncomfortable people. So we'll start backwards. We'll start at verse 16, seeking out the lowly. Don't think you're superior, but spend time with people in low position. I had a confession a few months ago. We had some prayer during a service. And I said, you know, if anybody wants to pray with a church leader, myself or an elder, you know, they were available. And I prayed with Jeff Decker, actually one of our elders. And I said to him, you know, I've come here, I've been here for a couple months here in Lansing, and I've really walked in the halls of power. I've met the mayor, that was a good thing. I've met the heads of various organizations in town, that was all right. And I keep running in these circles of power, and yet I don't think I've got a complete picture here. And I don't think that necessarily God's work at the church I'm trying to lead is going to be accomplished just by talking to people so that I hope some success or some power, some status rubs off on me and makes the ministry look good. Really, I need to be working where people will be reached for Christ. Not the halls of power necessarily, although it can happen there. But to make a real impact on this community, I have to remember where Jesus walked. I can't just go meet all the powerful people in Lansing or all the rich people in Lansing. Because what's the kingdom model? The kingdom model is of God's work, where it's not accomplished by necessarily money or earthly power, but by his Spirit we are led. This we've sung sometimes. And Jesus, for his part, proclaims a kingdom where he hangs out with sinners, the despised tax collectors, the sick people. And he tells religious people and people in power, the emperors and the governors and the Jewish religious authorities, he tells all of them, you guys are missing out on the kingdom. It's all these low-end people, all these people on the margins that are getting into the kingdom of heaven before you. And then Jesus, for his part, was actually opposed by those who had earthly power. I don't know why that is, but perhaps those on the margins understand better why the kingdom of God is actually needed. Because they know that there's injustice, because they're the victims of it. They know that things are wrong, because everything is not comfortable for them. So the kingdom comes. And so we are called, says Paul, to associate with people of low position. Not because you're so great, but because you have to remember that before God, we all must be humble. That we are called to those who feel unloved, who feel insignificant. We are called to the margins of society because we too are humble before God. And then also, we should seek the down and out. The down and out, the margins of society. Paul categorizes this as people who mourn. He says also people who rejoice. But let's think about the mourners first. In some ways, we can think that mourning with others is kind of easy because it's a feeling, it's an experience, grief is, that is common to basically everybody. And yet, very often we rush to apply our own experience. We rush to give advice to people who we know are mourning, and that's how we mourn with them. But isn't it more difficult simply to listen, to try to understand what someone else is going through without inserting ourselves into that conversation, to walk alongside them in such a way that their heart is truly heard? If we would displace what we're comfortable with or displace our own experience, we may find ourselves on the margins. We may find ourselves listening, walking with. And then what about those who rejoice? Maybe this is easier, but not so fast. It can get very complicated very quickly, especially if you follow God to the margins. Here's a story. Back when Beth and I lived in Holland on a little street, relatively economically depressed neighborhood, there was a woman up the street, lots of kids. Five kids that lived there, seven kids we knew about, could have been more, various fathers, at least three. And we got the word from her. We had a good relationship with her. We talked to her a lot, encouraged her, say, you know, what do you think about following God? She would talk. And she said, hey, guess what? I'm pregnant. She wanted to rejoice. So am I called to rejoice with those who rejoice? In a situation where something is clearly wrong, in a situation where actually Beth and I wanted children, and we were not able to get pregnant. And we're supposed to rejoice with her? Really, Lord? The lady up the street who's clearly in a bad way gets another kid, and we get none? Rejoice with those who rejoice? Oh, that's a little difficult. Especially when you're coveting a blessing, right? Well, what if instead we did what we did with this woman? We said, well, so how are you going to raise this child? What are your hopes for this child? What are your dreams for this child? Instead of focusing on what was wrong, we said, you know what? We're going to try to rejoice with what she's rejoicing and try to encourage her, try to guide. That's what life at the margins is like. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Just dream with someone. Share life with someone, even if it makes you uncomfortable, even if it's difficult. That will put you on the margins, but what it will mean is that you are reflecting the character of God. Because what happened with her is that she had a miscarriage. And then who did all those other kids go and talk to about life and death? They came to Beth and I, to Beth and me. And we got to talk about life and death. What's worth living for? We got to talk about what God does and doesn't do. We got to talk about a broken world with these kids. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn, so that people would begin to hear the word of grace and the story of God. And then there's this third class of marginalized people mentioned in the passage here. Bless your enemies. This surely is the most difficult and the most dangerous. Here's a little cartoon about enemies. Because the problem is that blessing your enemies has to go beyond mere words. You can just wish good things on people you don't like and, you know, oh, bless their hearts, right? That's easy. That's easy to say. In the meantime, in your heart, you're thinking, oh, that dirty so-and-so, I hope they get their comeuppance, right? So here's an imagined conversation on screen here between a non-marginalized person and Jesus. They're having coffee together. You know, you can tell he's Jesus because of the long hair, right? Right? Maybe some of you remember the 70s where, like, long hair was really bad, you know, because that was not what God wanted. Well, how come then Jesus is, you know, depicted with long hair all the time, right? Pretty weird. But here they are. Here they're talking. Here's Jesus with the long hair and coffee. You can be sure that's fair trade coffee, right? Probably organic. And he's talking to Joe non-marginalized. Joe non-marginalized says, well, Jesus, I think Christianity's in retreat mode. We've surrendered the high ground. We're letting them win when we should be attacking. Jesus says, well, as long as you're imagining enemies around every corner, Joe, Mr. Non-marginalized, maybe you can try loving them. Well, I wish it were that easy, Jesus. Even identifying as a Christian is now viewed negatively in society. When did that happen? Jesus, like around 33 AD? Yeah, yeah. Serious Christians have usually had enemies. The movement of the gospel of God has always met with opposition. And therefore, you can say that Christians, to be a Christian is to be marginalized, and that will become increasingly true in this area, even if it hasn't been true in the past. In the past, where Christianity was accepted as the religion of this country, perhaps, or certainly just assumed in this area, that's no longer the case. But it's from this place, then, that you're commanded to bless your enemies. Bless your enemies. Well, it's dangerous for Christians, really to bless enemies. What if we just bring this to a really rubber hits the road kind of place? What if we ask about Christians in Mosul, Iraq, a place where ISIS, the Islamic State in Iraq and the Levant, took over, the Islamist terrorists took over, and they said to Christians there a couple weeks ago, either you leave or you pay extra taxes according to Sharia law, or we'll kill you. Your choice. So Christians there, they're commanded to bless their enemies, bless the people who are either doing economic extortion or threatening murder. Yeah. Or maybe something a little closer to home, back in 2001, for those of you who remember, what did you pray about the terrorists? Did you pray to bless them? How could you have done that in the midst of your anger and pain? Bless your enemies, bless and do not curse. You see, what will happen is, if you bless your enemies, you will find that you are actually also on the margins. But then that brings us back to Christ. He who tried to bless his enemies with a full kingdom, with real power, with real goodness and the wealth of heaven. He, Jesus, was murdered outside the city, naked, near the city dump. It is written that he was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. And this was disgraceful to a man who brought a kingdom from the margins to the margins and through the margins. It's dangerous to bless and love your enemies. But Jesus, for his part, lived and died on the margins, on the fringes with the lowly people. So now you also must follow him to the margins. So where do we get practical here with all this talk about being on the margins? Well, therefore go, people of God. If you would follow Jesus, you must follow him there. Displace your life from what is comfortable, what society believes is normal. Seek the society instead of the lowly people, people who are in pain, people who are broken. Seek even to bless your enemies, not just in word, but in deed. If you're going to back to school this fall, it means maybe you seek out the new kid in your class, the awkward kid who's got no friends. You be a friend. Maybe it means when you go back to work tomorrow morning and you got to deal with that really annoying coworker, the one who always sits at the lunch table by themselves, you go sit. You go talk. You go live in that kind of awkwardness. Maybe you deal with their crude sense of humor, but you do so in the name of Christ. Or you dare to do good to someone that you know doesn't like you and you don't like them, but you do good anyway. That's what it means. It'll make you uncomfortable to share your life with people on the margins. But you have to remember that if you're on the margins of someone else's life, or someone's on the margins relative to you, that all of you have been on the margins of heaven. That God himself reached down from his perfect and pure and holy place and got you back from the borders of hell and brought you back into salvation when you didn't deserve it. When you were his enemies, he made you his friends. So would you live in such a way to chase God's dreams all the way to the forgotten people, to the grieving people, to the depressed people, the poor people, the sinners, the enemies, the people who make you uncomfortable, the people who are not like you, the people you believe are not acceptable? Would you reach to them in the name of Christ for the love of God? In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we were fringe players in the drama of salvation. Some of us have been getting along with our happy little lives, chasing power and success or fame or influence. We wanted to be on top. But Lord, now we want to belong to something that comes from you that reveals that all our chasing after earthly power is a chasing after the wind, that in fact we are on the margins of what is truly good and truly powerful. But Lord, you have reached down in Christ who walked among us at the fringes of society and still does by his Spirit to claim us back for yourself, to bring us back from the edge. So Lord, inspire us by your example and by your love to live this way, not to reach for power and wealth, but to reach for your kingdom. Put us on the margins in your name for the sake of your own glory, because we are not superior, but you, Lord, are to be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.